hour's time.
What if Princess Eri's guards raise the alarm? Asked Jenya.
They won't, said Zoya. Not until they know their plan has succeeded and the king is dead.
Nikolai rose as if his wounds no longer pained him, as if the horrors of the last few days had never been. As if the demon inside him had been conquered after all.
Then long live the king.
2 hours later, the festivities had dwindled to a few happy drunks singing songs in the Double Eagle Fountain. Most of the guests had gone to their beds to sleep off their indulgences, or had snuck off to some quiet corner of the gardens to indulge in more. Zoya and the others had returned to the conservatory, and when Nikolai entered, he was dragging along a terrified-looking shoe guard. She had a pinched, homely face, and wore the uniform of the Tavgarad, her long black hair tied in a topknot.
Mayu Kirkat, said Tamar. What is she doing here?
At the sight of the body on the floor beside the lemon trees, the guard began to shake.
But he, she said, staring at the dead king and then back at Nikolai. But you, where is the princess?
What a fascinating question, said Nikolai. I assume you're referring to the girl we found with a dagger in her chest, just half an inch shy of her aorta. Due to luck, or a lack of follow-through, you be the judge. She is currently recovering with our healers.
You must return the royal princess to our care, sputtered the guard.
She is no such thing, said Nikolai sharply. And the time has come and gone for such deceptions. An innocent man died tonight. Also, you could start a war.
Is he going to explain any of this? Whispered Jenya. Zoya was wondering the same thing.
Gladly, said Nikolai.
He gestured toward the guard.
I'd like all of you to meet the real Princess Eri Kirtaban, favorite daughter of the Shu, second in line to their throne.
Lies, hissed the guard.
Nikolai seized her hand.
First of all, no member of the Tavgarad would allow a man to snatch her wrist like the last sugared plum.
The guard gave a belated tug to try to get her hand free.
Second, where are her calluses? A soldier should have them on the pads of her palms, like Isaac. Instead, they're on the tips of her fingers. These are the calluses you would get from playing.
The couture, said Zoya.
18 strings. Princess Eri is a master. So they planted an assassin in place of the princess in order to get close to the king, said Tamar. But why would she try to kill herself off, too?
To cast more suspicion on the Fjordins? Asked Jenya.
Yes, said Nikolai. And to give the Shu a reason to go to war. Ravka's monarch dead, a member of the Shu royal family slain. The Shu would have every excuse they needed to march their armies into our leaderless country and use it as a base to launch an attack on Fjerda's southern border. They would arrive in force, with no intention of ever leaving.
Now the guard, or rather the princess, closed her eyes as if in defeat. But she did not weep, and she did not tremble.
What was to become of you, princess? Nikolai asked, releasing her hand.
I was to have a new name. A quiet life in the countryside, she said softly. I have never cared for politics or life at court. I would be free to pursue my music, fall in love where I wished.
What a lovely picture you paint, said Nikolai. Were it not a danger to my country's future, your lack of guile would be charming. Did you really believe your sister was going to leave you to rusticate in some mountain village? Did you actually think you would survive this plot?
I have never wanted the crown. I am no threat to my sister.
Think, Zoya snapped, losing patience. You are popular, adored, the daughter everyone wants on the throne. Your death is the thing meant to rally an entire nation to war. How could your sister let you live and risk discovery? You would be nothing but a liability.
The princess lifted her pointed chin.
I do not believe it.
Your guards have been secured, Zoya said. I suspect one of them had orders to make you disappear before you ever made it to your pastoral retreat. You can question them yourself. Eri somehow lifted her chin higher.
Will I face trial or simply be executed?
You should be so lucky, said Nikolai. No, I have a far worse fate for you in mind.
Am I to be your hostage?
I'm not much for pet names, but as you like.
You truly mean to keep me here?
Oh, indeed. Not as my prisoner, but as my queen.
Zoya was surprised at the way those words pricked at... what? Her heart? Her pride? She had known this end was inevitable. It was the course she had fought and harangued for. So why did she feel like she'd left her flank open yet again?
Our engagement will earn me a glorious dowry, said Nikolai, and your popularity among your people will keep your sister from harassing our borders.
I will not do it, said Airy,
her face ferocious, the countenance of a queen.
It's that or execution, my dove. Think of it this way. You won't be hanged. But the price is a life of luxury and my sparkling company.
You might consider the gallows, said Zoya, quicker and less painful. It felt good to say the words, to tease him while she still could. Nikolai nodded to Tolia and Tamar.
Get her back to her chambers and keep a close eye on her. Until we announce the royal engagement, there's a good chance she'll try to bolt or kill herself.
What do we do with the injured girl? Said Jenya once the princess had been escorted out of the conservatory and the twins had returned.
Keep her under heavy guard at the little palace. Even wounded, she's a member of the Tavgarad. Let's not forget that.
Did the real Mayu ever really mean to defect?
I think so, said Tamar. She has a brother, a twin. I think he was taken to be trained for the Kergud. She may have hoped to get both of them out of Shuhan.
Kevin,
said Tolia, resting a hand on his sister's shoulder. It was a word Zoya didn't know.
If she was found out, maybe she used her own life to barter for her brother's freedom.
Should make for an interesting chat once she's conscious, said Nikolai.
He knelt once again by Isaac.
I'll write a letter to his mother tomorrow. We can at least give him a hero's pension and make sure his family wants for nothing. And the body?
Asked Tolia quietly.
Take him out through the tunnels to Lasleon.
Jenya brushed her fingers over Isaac's lapel.
I'll begin work on him right away. He
didn't hesitate. When we told him what was at stake, he...
Tolia lifted Isaac's body carefully in his huge arms.
He had the heart of a king.
What did you tell Hiram Schenk?
Asked Jenya, wiping fresh tears from her scarred cheek.
His grin was as big as a melon rind.
I gave him the plans for our submersibles.
These Marzia, said Tamar.
Armed?
Asked Tolia, his face distressed.
Afraid so. As I understand it, said Nikolai. The apparat has gone missing and Fierda is marching in support of a Lansoff pretender. Is he good-looking?
Tamar frowned.
The apparat?
The Lansoff pretender. I suppose it's of no matter, but yes, I gave Schenk the real plans. We're going to war. We'll be in sore need of Kirch funds, as well as our new Shu friends.
The Zemini,
protested Tolia.
Don't worry, said Nikolai. I gave Schenk what he wanted, but he's going to discover it's not what he needs. Sometimes you have to feed the demon.
What does that mean? Asked Jenya. And are you going to tell us where you went?
Or if you found a cure, said Tamar.
We did, said Nikolai, but it didn't quite take.
So the monk was no help at all?
Asked Tolia. Nikolai's gaze met Zoya's. She drew in a long breath, then nodded. It was time the others knew.
We have some bad news. There's more? Asked Jenya.
It's Ravka,
Nikolai and Zoya said together.
There's always more.
She heard him finish as she vanished into the antechamber to retrieve their prisoner, hands tightly bound. She'd woken him with Jenya's red bottle, enjoying the way he startled, the brief confusion in his eyes.
Yori?
Said Jenya.
What did he do, bore someone to death?
Zoya tugged at the rope, and the monk stepped fully into the light. His hood fell back. Jenya gasped, edging away, her hand flying to the patch that covered her lost eye.
No, it can't be. No.
Nikolai placed a steadying hand on her shoulder. The monk was still too tall and too lean, but he moved with a new grace. His face was clean-shaven, and his glasses were gone. His hair looked darker, smoothed back from his brow, and the very shape of his features seemed to have altered, the bones winnowing to sharper, more elegant lines. His eyes flashed gray, the color of quartz. Tamar stepped in front of Jenya as if to shield her.
Impossible.
Improbable, said Nikolai gently.
When Zoya had destroyed the vessel that Elisaveta had so lovingly preserved, she had seen a shadow leave the fire. But she hadn't understood what it meant at the time. The Darkling's power had fractured. Part of it had remained in the wounded shadow soldier that the ritual had almost destroyed and that still lived on in Nikolai. But the rest, the spirit that had begun to bleed from that soldier into the body Elisaveta had prepared? Zoya should have known the Darkling would not miss his chance at freedom. Yori had gotten his wish. He'd helped his saint return. Had the young monk given himself up willingly? Joyously? Or in those final moments of fire and terror, had he begged to keep his life? Zoya knew there would be no mercy from the starless saint. The Darkling was not in the business of answering prayers. Nikolai had made the discovery in the shed where they'd taken shelter in the hours when Zoya had been traveling to Kribirsk.
Let me kill him, she'd told Nikolai when he'd shown her. We can bury his body here. No one ever has to know he...
She had stumbled over the words. He has returned. She could not say it. She refused to.
If we kill him, I may never be free of the demon inside me, Nikolai had said. And we are about to be at war. I intend to use every resource we have.
They'd kept him gagged throughout their journey back to Osalta, but just the amusement in those familiar gray eyes had made her want to snap his neck. Nikolai insisted there was a way to use his power. Zoya wanted to watch him burn all over again. So she would wait. She could be patient. The beast inside her knew eternity. Now Zoya looked at Jenya with her scarred hands pressed to her mouth, at Tolia's fury, at Tamar with her axes drawn. She looked at her king and the woman who would soon be his wife.
We are the dragon, and we will bide our time. So many of my old friends gathered in one place, said the Darkling from the mouth of a loyal, gullible boy, another fool who had loved him. It's good to be home.
This has been an Audible Studios production of King of Scars, written by Leigh Bardugo, performed by Lauren Fortgang. Executive producers, Kristen Lang and Mike Charzik. Producer, Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2019 by Leigh Bardugo. Sound recording copyright 2019 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.